Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Over here in our text for these meetings, we're going to go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God is breaking down walls, breaking things off of us that we don't even know half the time, well, most of the time, we don't even know we're walking around with. Just stuff making us dull to Him. Dull to Him, insensitive to Him, so that we're quick to react to the flesh and very slow to respond to the Spirit. Very slow to yield to Him because we're dull, we're cold, we're indifferent. That's just what the world does to us. Doesn't make anybody a bad person. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is in this world. But that's why we need to have meetings where we come together and allow the Spirit of God to demonstrate His presence, His power in our lives, so to help break off all that heaviness. Cause those walls around us to come down, or at least to become thinner and thinner. And when they become thinner, then you're able to express your spirit more freely. You're able to yield to the Spirit of God more easily and just flow with Him and accomplish what He wants to accomplish in your day. Because every day God wants to accomplish things in your life. Amen? Every day He wants to do things in your life. So devil's been running around with brick and mortar and running around your life, building and building and building, and then in one weekend, power of God just go out and destroy the whole thing. Hallelujah. God can do it. And that's depressing to the devil. He just look up, what happened? The devil wakes up one morning and looks and goes, my wall! What happened to my wall? Just got blasted, praise the Lord. Spirit of God just blasted it. Boom! And how does He do it? He does it through us. He does it by making us a blast. Making us explosive, praise God. And so when you're having a blast in God, if He could ever get us over to have a blast about Him, not just blast about a ball game or something, but if we actually have a blast concerning God, oh man, things will get blasted. I mean, rocks will be broken to pieces, shattered. And that's what God's done this weekend, and that's what He's continuing to do today. And if you weren't here this weekend, don't get depressed about it. Get excited you're here today, because it's still the weekend. Hallelujah. And there's a lot more people around you now that are ready to assist in the blasting of your wall, because they've had their walls blasted. So it's a very exciting thing to be here for all of us this morning. Can you say amen? Well, over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. So the Apostle Paul, he's writing here to the church at Corinth, a church that God had established through him, a church that had been growing and God was doing great things through. And now he's writing about his previous encounters with them. And he says in verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That, here's the reason for it. He says, this is the reason why he didn't come with a lot of eloquent messages, but he was with them in the demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. And the reason for it was that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How many believe that if their faith, the church at Corinth, if their faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God? Oh, yes. It's still true today. Well, in order for that to be the case, where our faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, then we're going to need meetings just like this, where there's demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. Now, the word demonstrate, we said, you know, when you look it up in the Greek there, it means to exhibit, to show, to put forth a show. Well, if the Spirit is putting forth a show, or we're showing forth the Spirit, because we're the ones that are to show him forth, we're the ones to make an exhibit of him, then it's going to be the greatest show on earth. And notice Paul said, I was with you in weakness and much fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. So you say, well, you see, that was the Apostle Paul. That wasn't necessarily the whole church. But then we said, you go over to Philippians. Over in Philippians, it says that you're to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The fear and trembling. So you see, it's this demonstrations of the Spirit that you we're all to yield ourselves to make sure that we don't become people whose faith is just in teaching about God. You see, you got to understand, the reason for the demonstrations of the Spirit is so that Christianity doesn't become just another religion. Without the demonstrations of the Spirit, Christianity just becomes another religion in the world. Another religion built on the wisdom of man, full of the pride of man. But God's brand of Christianity, of following Christ, is to be powerful, is to be supernatural. It's to be full of God himself. He wants to come into our assemblies and flow through our life and do supernatural, powerful things. But it won't happen if we don't train ourselves to yield to the Spirit of God and take special times to make sure that we are humbling ourselves and yielding to him. If we don't come together and have special times of yielding to the Spirit of God and humbling ourselves, and we just come and we just listen to the teaching of God's word, there is a danger that we will just become religious. Just become a bunch of religious people. And unfortunately, that is the state of much of the body of Christ. So notice again, verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, he doesn't start talking about this here. He started talking about this back here in chapter 1. Notice back here in chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, watch, it is the power of God. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The power of God. See, this is one letter that he wrote to the church of Corinth. And so he's still talking. What he said over here in chapter 2, verse 4, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, he's still talking about these things over here. And he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, when you read that, the message of the cross, I know for me, the Lord really brought a lot of light to me this morning on this. But the message of the cross, when you think of the message of the cross is foolishness, you think of the story of the cross. The story of the crucifixion. That it's foolishness to the world. It's foolishness to the intellectual. It's foolishness to the unsaved. And yes, that's true. It's true that it would be foolish to think that God would save mankind by crucifying his son. What kind of way is that for God to save humanity by crucifying his son? So yeah, that is foolish, but that's really not what he's saying here. He's not talking about the story of the crucifixion, the story of Christ. He's not saying that that story is foolish. What he's saying is the message, or as the regular King James translates it, preaching. For the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. The message of the cross. I looked up the word message. Preaching. Speech. Talk. And I'm talking about looking it up in the original Greek language here. The word that was used here. Talk. The talk of the cross. The reasoning of the cross. The divine expression of the cross is foolishness. The kind of style of speaking. This is what message means. A kind of style of speaking. Communication. So it's talking about not the story of the cross, but how the cross is communicated. That the way, the style by which the cross is communicated is foolishness. He's not saying the story of the cross itself is foolishness, but the style by which it is communicated or expressed is foolishness. That's interesting. Well, if we stand up and we speak very intellectually from the scriptures, we talk of God, how good and wonderful he is, that don't seem foolish to me. I mean, we see that all the time. We see politicians do it. Oh, they're not foolish, but actually it's normal. Read from a teleprompter. You know, talk about God. Teach the word of God. Well, that style don't seem very foolish. And actually the word foolishness there in the original language can also be translated silliness, absurdity. Absurd, stupid. So the style by which the cross or the message of the gospel is communicated can be very foolish, can be very silly to the carnal mind. Even absurd, ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. And stupid. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. Now, normal teaching of the word. I don't appear to be pretty stupid this morning, do I? No, thank God. But in its context, he is reminding the church at Corinth, which is a group of Christians that have gotten very puffed up. He rebukes them in other places, and he tells them how puffed up in pride they've become, how they really think they're something, and they are basically becoming a very religious group of people. Remember, it was the religious people that wanted Jesus crucified, not the common man. It was the religious people that were so inflated with pride, they walked around in their flowing robes, and they walked around and they liked being called rabbi, and they liked being called father, and they liked being called great teacher, and they liked all these things, and they liked the best seats in the synagogues and the places of worship and so forth. And so you see, there's a spiritual pride that fills religion. And if Christianity becomes a religion, you're going to have a lot of folks full of spiritual pride and arrogance. And so the church at Corinth was falling into that. And so there were divisions among them. There was strife. One was thinking they're greater than the other. And so Paul is coming in and he's saying, guys, remember when I was with you, I didn't come with excellence of speech. I didn't come like a great orator. I didn't come like somebody special. I came in weakness and in fear and in trembling, and I did some absurd things among you. I came preaching, I came expressing, I came communicating this gospel in a very foolish, absurd manner. So why now are we walking around high-minded and thinking we're so superior to one another, to the others? That's what he's doing here. He's bringing correction. And friend, we need it today. We need it today. We need times where there's demonstrations of the Spirit. We need times where the scriptures are being expounded upon and we're being taught the mysteries of God, and it's very eloquently put, and so we understand what's being spoken. But then there are times where we need to put it all in its proper perspective so that we don't get puffed up in religious pride. There are times we need to get down and get yielding to the Spirit of God and go so low in humility that there's no possible way we can stand up and exalt ourselves against one another ever again. And this is something else too. When I was getting there looking up this word, the secret councils which govern God in dealing with righteousness, which are hidden from ungodly and wicked men, we could say the proud, but plain to the godly. In other words, here he's talking about this foolishness, this silliness, this absurdity by which the gospel is expressed or communicated. And basically it's saying here, right in the definition itself, in the word itself, it's letting us know that this is how God hides his wisdom from the wicked. This is how God hides his things from those who are high-minded, from those that are proud, because he resists the proud. So God does things in a way that turn the proud off and causes them to want to go away. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. That's silly. They don't want any part of that. And just about the time they walk out, boom, the power of God is released in people's lives. And suddenly people are experiencing life on another whole level. Suddenly the life of God is flowing. People are free. They're changed because their chains have fallen off. Spiritual shackles, you know. They'll come right off. So he goes on. I love this. Watch this. So he says again, verse 18, for the message of the cross. Remember, what's the message? It's the expressing. It's the communicating of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is an awesome thing. That's why Christians, a lot of posts that are getting saved, they understand this is exciting. Something absurd happens, they get excited, praise the Lord. It's the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, this is the reason why it's this way. He says, I will destroy the wisdom of the world. That's the pride of man in his wisdom and his knowledge of God. I'll destroy the wisdom of the world and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness. Now, this is what my Bible says. Through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. But in the original language, and the King James gets it right, we're reading from the New King James. It doesn't say the foolishness of the message preached. It just says through the foolishness of preaching. For since the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, through the foolishness of expressing the divine purpose of God and communicating God through absolute foolishness, he saves those who believe. In other words, it's the humble. The humble get it. The humble get it. The proud don't get it. So they get left out. Now let's go back to verse 17, because I forgot to read this in the Amplified Bible. Watch this, in the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "For Christ did not send me as an apostle to baptize, but commissioned and empowered me to preach the good news of salvation, not with clever and eloquent speech as an orator, so that the cross of Christ would not be made ineffective, deprived of its saving power." Notice that. He says, basically what he's saying there is that eloquent speech and just ministering the gospel as a gifted speaker, he basically says that will cause the gospel to be ineffective. Be ineffective. Deprived of its saving power. That's pretty serious stuff. Now, that doesn't mean we completely do away with good teaching, eloquent speech. Bible says we're to excel in everything, in speech and in every area of life. So we're to get better at speaking and all those kind of things. But if that's all we do, if that's all we do, if we don't have times of demonstration of the Spirit and of power, then we're going to get puffed up one against another. And we're going to begin to fall over into a religion and think we have something great when there's no power of God manifested at all. And you think about how many churches are out there. They have no expectation of the power of God. In fact, it's gotten to the point where they actually will teach that the days of miracle went out with the last apostles, and with God, you never know. Some of them might get healed, they might not. You know, you just never know with God. And I mean, they preach something that is not the gospel. They have what the Bible says is a form of godliness, but no power. I want the power of God. I just want the real deal. I don't want to play games. I don't want to just be full of pretense and be able to get up and just teach the Bible. And I mean, you know, you could be a whole lot more popular in this world. And people know there's probably more proud people in the world than there are humble. That's my guess. What do you think? So you can probably get more people to like you if you just do it the proud way. Just do it the proud way. And you can be a whole lot more popular. Well, I'm not looking to be popular. I'm looking for the God's power. I'm in this thing to have power. Praise God. I'm looking to live the abundant life of God that God has to give. Not looking for the praises of man. Looking for the presence of God. How about you? I believe that's why you're here this morning. God is drawing you. You got a heart after God. You're not looking for religion. You're looking for the real thing, the real deal. You want to connect with him. Well, praise God. Sometimes then it's going to take you having to yield yourself to some silly things and allow yourself to become meek and humble where you don't care what anybody thinks about you. Because pride cares a lot about how people think about it. And friend, I got news for you. It's bondage. It's bondage to have to worry about what people think about you. Wouldn't it be nice to go through life and not care? Just be like a child. You know, you just start playing on the chairs. You know, praise the Lord. You know, kids don't care. You know, kids don't care. You're watching them. They're crawling under the chairs and they're doing all kinds of crazy things. Now, I didn't say be childish. But yet, we're to be childlike in how we think. We need to be humble, not caring about what other people think about us, not measuring ourselves by others and comparing ourselves with others. That's freedom. That's freedom. Do I talk about being childish and walking around just being dumb all the time? No, we're going to walk around in the wisdom of God. But many times the wisdom of God, it's foolishness to the world. Notice what he says here. He goes on. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty and the base things of the world. In other words, the insignificant or lowly things of the world. And he's talking about a lot of you. You know that, right? That's who he's called. How many want to be called to God? Do you qualify? I beg your pardon. You don't qualify. No. He's called the base things of the world. And the things that are despised. Are you afraid to be despised? If you're afraid to be despised, you can never fulfill the call of God on your life. You'll never fulfill Vishvukovavoyi. Vegadamuk Shavagigavagadabedisit. Yesikanamuka Sakaneya. See, that just completely messed up my eloquent speech. Just totally interrupted it. What's happening? Well, it's a demonstration of the Spirit. That he's in control. It's getting very hard to speak. He's in control. Yeah. Yeah. He's in control. He needs to. Ooh, he needs to be in control of your tongue. Wouldn't that be good? It's getting foolish. I understand. I've tried to lay scripture for you. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. God has chosen. See, many are called, few are chosen. Who's going to answer the call? Who's going to fulfill the call of God so that God chooses them? Well, those that aren't afraid to be despised, those aren't afraid to be foolish in their expressing the divine nature, communicating the gospel in some very absurd manners. He's chosen these things which are not to bring to nothing the things that it are. To bring to nothing the things that it are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's it right there. Flesh can't glory in his presence. See, it keeps us all in check. Keeps us all in check. It'll keep the pastor in check. You know? If he yields to the Spirit of God and does things as just witnessed, it helps keep him in check. That he's depending on God. Are you going to depend on me? Or are you going to resist that? Because I could resist it. I could resist the Spirit of God and say, no, they're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to think I'm just doing something weird. They're going to think I have mental issues is what they're going to think. I can't do that, Lord. I can't do that. And God says, okay, I can't use you. I can't use you. I'll have to find somebody else. I'll find someone that isn't afraid to be a fool for me. Which is what Paul was. If you go to chapter 4, anything can happen at this point. That was permission granted to express the divine nature. Now, you might be sitting there this morning. You might be. I'm sure you are because I see you. But I wasn't finished saying what I was going to say. You might be there this morning. And you might feel a great illustration. Here's this guy. He was a hobo. He was on the street. And we had led him to the Lord. And he came in and I said, "Man, I pray for you, and God's going to fill you with his Spirit." So I laid my hands on him, and he just stood there like this, you know, very reverent, very reverent. And I got my hands on him, and I could feel power. I could feel energy running through my arm, my hand, into this man's body. I could feel the tangible presence of God flowing. And he's standing there like this, and he's not doing anything. I'm thinking, "My Lord." So I stopped, and I said, "Are you feeling anything?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you?" So I laid hands on him again, more of that energy flowing. I stopped, I said, do you feel like laughing or anything?" He goes, "I'm doing everything I can to hold it in." Because I'm like, I'm about to bust. And I know this is going into him. He said, "I'm doing everything I can to hold it in." I said, "No, no." I said, "That's the Holy Spirit." I said, "Let it go." He went, "Ha ha!" Boom. He fell on the ground, started speaking in tongues and laughing. Don't hold it in. Let it go. Hallelujah. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Shikalabakasiki. So Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "We are fools for Christ." That's who we are. If you didn't know who you were, now you know. What are we? Fools. Yeah, don't even say for Christ. Just say, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I don't like that. I know. That's pride. It's okay. Verse 9, he says, "For I think that God is displayed." Sounds like a demonstration. Sounds like a show. God is displayed. Things sounds like an exhibit. "God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. And we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." See, we don't like talking about that. Paul was a very wonderful apostle, you know. The great, powerful Paul the Apostle. He was a spectacle to people of his day. What that looked like, I don't know. But he was a spectacle. Even angels thought he was a spectacle. That's an interesting thought. You know, you are being watched, not just by men. I'm telling you, it's so freeing. Praise God. I got so much. Look at verse 10. "We are fools for Christ, but you," now see, he's talking to the church of Corinth, "but you are wise in Christ." See, he's rebuking them. "We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we're dishonored. We look like a bunch of fools. But you guys look so pious. You look so good. You're honored. You're distinguished." Friend, there's a place for that. I'm not doing away with that. We need to know how to be noble, distinguished, walk honorable, and with excellence in everything that we do. But we can't let that go to our head. and to keep it from going to our head as we grow in excellence and grow in God's wisdom and grow in the truth is to allow ourselves to yield to the Spirit of God so he can remind us that we're just fools for him. And allow ourselves to become spectacles and show that we are like little children, for to such is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you want access into that kingdom, blessed be the name of the Lord, then you need to become like a little child and just allow yourself to be a fool for Christ and not walk around like you're something better. And you're too big for that guy that ran around the room. You're too big to be a holy roller and roll across the floor. You're too big to sit there and laugh and get saliva and sweat all over yourself in front of the assembly of God's holy people. You're too big for that. When we become too big for our britches, then we fall. And we're in a time where many are falling. It's being judged. Pride is being judged. It's falling. But the meek are rising to inherit the land, to inherit the earth. Here we come. I'm going to be a part of that army, man. I'm going to be a part of that army. I'm going to inherit the land, glory be to God. I'm going to possess my inheritance. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to fulfill my ministry, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to be chosen of the Lord, chosen of him, stay with him all the way to the end. Hallelujah. That's who I am. How about you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why don't you stand on your feet and thank the Lord this morning? Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Our champion. He fights for us. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, as you go through the Word of God, you'll see prophets. I mean, they were used in some pretty wild manners. I mean, God used them powerfully. They were men of great power. But my. Isaiah. Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 20 that God led him to walk around naked and barefoot as a sign and a wonder to the children of Israel. Yeah, walked around naked and barefoot. And then Ezekiel, blessed be God forever. Ezekiel, the Bible says in Ezekiel 3:26, God said, I'll make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute. He couldn't preach. He couldn't speak. He couldn't talk. God caused his tongue to cling to his mouth. And then God at another time in chapter 4 told him to lie on his side, and God would cause it so that he couldn't move. For weeks on end, he wouldn't be able to move. And he did it in the sight of all the people. Here's this distinguished prophet doing these crazy things, these foolish things. Another time, God told him to go out and cook some food over a human waste in front of all the people. It's a defiled thing, the Jews. Oh, my, it's defiled. But he did all kinds of things like that as a sign to the people. It's amazing. The man yielded himself, and God used him mightily. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to sign up as a prophet? Thank you, Jesus. We love the prophets. Oh, we love the prophets. We love the prophets, the apostles, the prophets. Wonderful men. If they lived in our day and they did the things they did, acted the way they acted in our midst, I wonder if we would receive them. I wonder if we would receive them, or we'd be like the religious people that just idolize them and don't have a real good handle of what these men were like at all. They were some of the meekest, lowliest, despised men of this world. But man, they got a place in God. Whoo, hallelujah. They got a place at the table right now. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Say, Lord, move me up. Set me a place at your table. I want to come and eat. I want to come and drink of your life, of your goodness. Hallelujah. I wonder if God told Jericho in today's world to tell the people, march around the city 7 times. Go around the place 7 times. and on the seven days, and on the 7th day, shout around a walled city. We're talking about a walled city, a city of people that hate you. They want to kill you. And he says, here, I got a military plan for you, guys. I want you to march around the wall, and then I want you to start shouting. And when you shout, the walls are going to come down. No. I wonder how much of the church world would get on board with that. I wonder how much of the church will really get on board with that. But you see, here was a whole nation of people that God had groomed in the wilderness and had prepared them and taught them how to yield and flow at the foolishness of the Spirit of God. And they did it. They yielded. And the power of God was released. And the walls came down. And it was a great victory. Hallelujah. Do you think maybe he's the same God today? Do you think he might do the same thing today? You think so? I think so. I think he might have us run around a sanctuary. I can't run around a sanctuary. Well, how in the world are you going to run around a city? Right? How are you going to run around a city if you can't run around a sanctuary? See, but oh, it's too foolish. It's too crazy. Well, that's God for you. Read your Bible. That's God. That's what he does. Crazy things. There was a guy who was blind. And you know what he did to help him? He spit. He spit on the ground and made mud of the spittle. And he smeared it on his eyes. How about you like that? Jesus, I need a miracle. Jesus. What's that, Jesus? And Jesus does it in front of everybody. Imagine what they were thinking. Look at this. But the power of God was released. Oh, no, it wasn't released. I'm sorry. He put mud on his eyes, spit in his face, put mud on his eyes, said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then he went and came back seeing. Hey, we can go on. I mean, we got to yield. Can you say amen? Amen. How many people's walls are getting thinner? Yes. Well, that's good. Just as long as it's getting thinner, that's all. As long as they're not getting thicker. If your walls are getting thicker, then we got a problem. Now, you might not have run around the room. That's okay. You got to understand, there's some fanatics in here that have been doing this thing all weekend. So, you know, where you're at is where you're at. But just make sure you're getting thinner. Make sure you're getting thinner, not thicker, and meaner, and judgmental, and critical. And saying, I don't get this. I thought this church was a very dignified church. Now I've come to find out they're crazy. You just went the wrong way. That's not my fault. That's not my fault. I think I did a good job yielding to the Spirit of God. We did it His way. It's not my fault. No, it's your heart. If your heart is like clay, when the sun hits it, it turns hard and into a brick. But if you're like a block of wax, and the sun hits it, you melt. Same sun, different effects depending on what your heart is made of. Are you the clay that becomes the soft clay that you're soft and pliable until God comes? Then you get hard as a rock. The rest of you, stiff as a poker, but on the inside, you're just burning with God. As soon as the heat rises in the atmosphere, glory be to God, you melt like wax. I want to be like the wax, don't you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate and esteem every outburst. Everything you do in us, Father, to get us to yield and flow with you. It's been a great weekend. We're so grateful. We give you all the praise and honor. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.